Everyone, welcome back to the Star Wars Report podcast. So glad that you've decided to join us. We're still rocking out. We're still hooked on a feeling. We just recorded the other day, and I couldn't help myself but enjoy some of the jams on Awesome Mix Volume 1. Sadly, it is not a cassette deck, although I need to plug that into my sound system and make one of those things. But hey, welcome back to the Star Wars Report podcast. I'm joined by my inimitable sister, Bethany, once again.
Greetings, one and all. I'm glad to be back.
I guess I should say who I am.
Tell me real quick, what does inimitable mean?
Inimitable. Mm-hmm. Inimitable.
I was trying to see if I could get you to mess it up, but.
I guess I should say who I am. Hey, I'm Riley Blanton as well. Founded the Star Wars Report, host of this here podcast. You guys know the drill. We've got a really special guest for this episode that we're dedicating entirely to Star Wars at Dragon Con, or SWAT DC, as we like to say. It's like Special Forces. She's the Special Forces of making this stuff happen at Dragon Con. I'd like to welcome to the program Brandi Rotsi, a.k.a. the head honcho, the track director of Star Wars at Dragon Con.
Hi, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, thanks for coming on. We're looking forward to having a bit of a chat about all things Dragon Con and what you guys have in store. But before we jump into all that, tell us a little bit about yourself as a Star Wars fan. How did you get into the wars, as they say?
Well, I guess I was raised up on it. they used to come on TV a lot when I was growing up, and my dad's a massive Star Wars fan. So when they re-released them into the theaters, we just had a blast and went. It was always a big family event for us, which was very exciting. I don't know, even the prequels, you know, we were the first ones in line. So it's just always been there for me. And as I've gotten older, it's just gotten to be more and more a part of my life. I've been very lucky to be involved with Dragon Con and to meet so many other Star Wars fans because of it. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I remember my first time coming to Dragon Con and thinking that you guys run such a great Star Wars program at Dragon Con that it made me even more excited to come back the next year. Because I will say, Dragon Con was my first big convention, and it was a little intimidating at first, but you guys at the Star Wars track really made it easier to integrate into the convention and figure out what was going on. And I had such a great time doing that. So,
well, thank you so much. And I'm so glad to hear that, actually. You know, Dragon Con's just got a different feel, I think, than most conventions. And we really try to be welcoming, and everybody's welcome. I mean, we've had people of every walk of life, I guess, be involved. And that's the way it should be, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah,
the diversity at Dragon Con, and by diversity I don't necessarily mean just the people coming, but all of the different panels, all of the different tracks, everything that you can purchase there is quite amazing, frankly, and it's not something I've seen at other conventions that I've been to.
Well, we like to say there's something for everyone, and I think that's probably becoming more and more true. As Dragon Con is growing, I think we've got like 56 different tracks of programming. Everything pop culture is represented at this point. And hopefully it stays the inclusive and fun environment that it is. You know, everybody worries about it getting too big and that it'll lose its charm, but I mean, they're growing exponentially every year. And I think what makes the Dragon Con is still at the heart of everything that we do. So hopefully everybody who comes to visit still gets to feel like they're part of that Dragon Con thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'll tell you what, it's one of those things where, like Bethany mentioned, it was the first kind of really big, not just Star Wars event of any kind, but really any convention that we had been to. I'd been to one or two smaller conventions And this is like kind of at the dawn of our fandom, even at least as we started doing podcasts and started doing the Star Wars Report, because I think we just that year we were going to Fan Days out in Dallas, but that's a more smaller focused one. And also it wasn't until October. So now that you're saying, I do remember that. I think it was 2011. I think Sam Witwer was here that year, which is funny because he's coming back this year. So we'll have to say hello if we can. But it's one of those things where when you show up at an event like Dragon Con, there's kind of a a glorious chaos that is embraced by the fandom, because it's all fan run. And like whether it's you, the track director, all the way down to all the volunteers who make it happen, it's one of those things that it just has a very different vibe. But like as a track director, when you're doing all the programming, like for a lot of listeners may not know this, even though we've covered Dragon Con in years past, but really the convention itself has a ridiculous amount of programming. And you guys have to organize all of this concurrent programming between all of these different hotels. Like, as a track director, what's that like as you're trying to pull together all the Star Wars goodness into some sort of sane order?
Well, I will say it's taken me a couple of years to get where it's becoming more seamless. It was so hard to actually get panelists because, you know, I just assume nobody's really coming to Dragon Con to hear me talk. Now, I love to talk Star Wars, and I can do it all day long. But it's very important to have that diversity of thought. So the hardest part for me wasn't, you know, just scheduling everything, but it was trying to come up with the different ideas for panels, and then trying to find people to sit on the panels and have the discussions. Because so many people are like, oh, well, I'm a massive fan, but I don't think you really want me on a panel. No, we do. We want you on a panel. And then we would schedule people and they would never show up. we had, a Boba Fett panel a couple of years ago. And even Steampunk Boba Fett was supposed to be on the panel. And then nobody showed up to be on the panel. So we were like trying to drag people out of the audience to fill this panel.
Wow.
It turned out to be very odd.
Now, and you've had your experience over the years. When did you first start as track director?
After Dragon Con 2009. I guess it was probably November is when I took over. So my first actual show as director was probably 2010. But I had been involved behind the scenes with Dragon Con for some time before that. I was in signage. So I got to learn the underbellies of the hotel and running back and forth and where everything was. It was a little bit smaller at that point. I think I came on when it was three hotels. But, you know, 20 years ago, Dragon Con was only one hotel and probably only a handful of people. But and then I was the assistant director for information services, so all of the info desks in the hotels. So that was a good way to learn about this convention and what was going on. But I kind of felt like I was missing Dragon Con because my fandom was only Star Wars at that point. Loved it massively. So I was really excited to get to work for the track. And I rarely leave the Star Wars room, and it's because that is my fandom, and I'm typically very interested in what's going on the panels and what's being said. So sometimes I end up missing other things that I also wanted to do, but sometimes you just get wrapped up in Star Wars and there's nothing else.
No, absolutely. And I'll tell you what, it's like at Dragon Con in general, it's impossible to hit up everything you want to do because there's so many different concurrent tracks. But Bethany and I, as huge, we're genre fans, and there's so many different shows and stuff we like, but we always find ourselves several times a day at least traipsing our way back to the Marriott, to the Star Wars room, and sitting on one of the author panels or one of the others. But do you have, I'm curious, do you have a favorite or any particular moments or panels that have really jumped out to you over the years?
You know, it's to the point now where I just get really excited to see the people that I've been seeing. I think probably one of my favorite moments would be when Aaron Alston would just come sit in the back of a panel, or he'd send me an email and he'd say, hey, I'd really like to just heckle this panel. So I think that's going to be one of the hardest things to get over this year,
yeah,
is not seeing his smiling face throughout the convention, just randomly popping in, because he also was a fan of our programming, and that was special. I think it's the behind-the-scenes moments that really and truly set it apart for me, and I just feel really, really lucky to be able to have those moments. As far as favorite panel, I think Carrie Fisher, probably. Nobody's going to ever touch that, ever. She was just amazing. She was everything I ever could want her to be. I mean, she's Hollywood royalty. She's a little bit of the old school Hollywood. And she was just so entertaining and so gracious and just absolutely wonderful with the fans. And the moment that she walked out on the stage, climbed up on the table, so she's like 10 or 15 feet off the ground at this point, and just stood there with her arms out. It was hilarious. And that's just going to stick with me forever.
That panel was legendary. I heard rumors of that. And I'm terribly sad that we missed it. I think that was the first year we went. I'm trying to remember now. I think that was 2011.
Yes, it was 2011. And I think it was the first panel she did. They gave her the atrium ballroom in the Marriott, and it was packed out. We had to turn people away. But she was worth every second. It's just amazing.
That's amazing. I mean, there are so many great memories of Dragon Con's past, but I do want to talk a little bit about this year's con. Like our listeners know, we've gone every year for the past now 3-4 years, and it's never been. It seems to top itself every year. But this year, what can fans look forward to seeing at the Star Wars track at Dragon Con?
Well, we are trying to change things up a little bit. There's something new that we're going to try this year with one of our Atlanta natives. Well, not native. He actually hates Atlanta. I think he's probably from Boston or something originally. But Carl Cunningham and possibly his friend Adam Part, they wrote a book called Star Wars Road Trips. This is the filming location in the United States.
Wait, I've heard of this. Yeah.
They're going to come and probably on Friday give us a little bit of a presentation, kind of a panel on that. But they're, I want to say Carl's in London right now visiting the Star Wars set. So maybe he'll have some interesting things to share with us.
Wow.
When he gets back.
That's amazing.
So that'll be fun.
I guess is he friends with Kevin Smith, I guess? Evidently.
I don't even know. You never know who knows anybody, you know, who knows who
it
around
is.
Dragon Con.
Yeah, no, that's awesome though. I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, no, I remember that. I think they did a Kickstarter for it. I remember that jumping across my radar.
The Kickstarter started a couple of years ago. So they've got the book, and I think they are working on a documentary at this point.
Oh, nice, nice. Well, I'll tell you what, like, a dream of mine has always been to do a cross-country road trip. And I think if I do, I think I need to incorporate the Star Wars locations. So I need to stop by Death Valley, you know, for Tatooine and Return of the Jedi, you know, the Endor Forest. I think I'd have to do that. That's awesome. And so they'll be doing a panel. I'll tell you, I would be remiss if I didn't mention, Bethany and I will be on, two panels, and I'm actually super excited. We're going to do the Farewell to Clone Wars, Hello Rebels panel and the Episode 7 panel, which, by the way, both for this year and last year, you were so kind to have us come on as panelists, that was so much fun. We're really looking forward to it this year.
We loved having you guys. I think I emailed you and hit you up on Twitter a couple of times. I was like, you know, you could be on some other panels. So,
oh, absolutely.
You know, it's like I said, it's really lucky that we're getting to the point where we are meeting people like you all and fans like you all who do have the outside knowledge to bring in and who can carry a panel all by yourself. It makes DragonCon a lot easier for us. when we're not like, oh, this panel's going to go terribly, or, oh no, what if nobody shows up for the panel? Because we know that you guys will actually be there. So that's a different level of comfort and professionalism for us. We just really.
Oh no, for sure. And we will be there. We will. In fact, guys, we'll probably put out a post shortly before the event for you guys, because I know we've got a lot of, listeners who will be at Dragon Con. So we'll shoot out the times and locations and all that good stuff for the panels we'll be on. But there are a lot of great ones, and it's always great to be involved in any way we can. For sure. And I'll tell you what, like last year, that episode 7 panel, okay, it had been announced maybe a little less than a year. It was still in pre-production, I think, when we were doing that panel. And the room was still just packed because there is so much fan thirst for knowledge of episode 7. So I think this year we actually have a lot more concrete information and behind the scenes stuff to work with. So I'm really looking forward to that this year.
It should be really fun. We've gotten it moved to a bigger room because, like you said, it was standing room only. We had people sitting on the floor everywhere we could fit, and we had to turn people away. So we do have a bigger room for that this year.
Oh, good.
But I would argue it's still going to be pretty heavy on speculation.
Yeah, I mean, we have like filming locations and a few behind the scenes, you know, leaks and rumors and stuff like that. But again, you are right. There's still very little confirmed now. Hopefully next Dragon Con, when we're like 3 months away from release, then there will be a lot to discover. But I think part of the fun is the speculation. It's kind of fun to be, as long as you can embrace this part of the journey of just we know so little and have fun with it. I think that's the important thing, because it can be frustrating at times, and it's easy to get impatient waiting for information. But you know, this too shall pass, as they say.
It's so fun. And the speculation is really fun, too. So we're actually going to have a panel on Monday that's going to be strictly speculation, exaggerated speculation. What's the most ridiculous thing we could come up with that everybody's been doing in the 30 years between Jedi and the new one? So it just should be ridiculous. If it's not ridiculous, I'm going to be...
Nice. That's going to be awesome. I'll tell you what, like it's the programming is just unlike anything else. I'm super looking forward to. Oh, and one other I would hate, because there's the trivia contest. There's the authors, of course. But I want to highlight, and this is from our friends over at Tossy Station, I think, are the ones who started this. What is the Suits, Sinatra, and Star Wars cocktail party? Because this sounds amazing.
Well, so we are trying, like I said, we're always trying to change it up. And we've been doing light speed dating for a couple of years. And that's a lot to take on. And we just wanted it to be a little bit of a different feel. So the Alderaan party is kind of like a big dance electro, almost not even a rave, but just a dance party that's crazy and huge. So we were like, let's be classy this year. So yeah, everybody loves the standards, the swing, the big band music, and who doesn't like to get dressed up? So
I was gonna say,
we're gonna make it a little bit more classy.
So I can definitely put on the old, put on the best suit and bow tie, right?
Absolutely, and the little black dress for the ladies. It's just gonna be kind of more laid back, just good music that has withstood the test of time, and we're going to have a photo booth, actually, where the proceeds will go to the Dragon Con charity, which is the Atlanta Community Food Bank, and we're going to try to find a way to put those pictures up on a projector throughout the event, too, which will be fun. Everybody in their finery, but really, it came from the fact that I listened to the Frank Sinatra Pandora station a lot, and I was like, oh, Fly Me to the Moon. And then I was like, wait, that's no moon? That would be the best campaign ever. Somebody needs to make these posters. So, like, if nothing else, I'm going to laugh the entire time just because that's what's going to
Oh, we need like the...
It sounds awesome.
I can't think of the actual name. Jimmy Stewart's character from It's a Wonderful Life. He's like, I'm going to lasso the Death Star for you. And just be like... no, that's going to be awesome. I'll tell you what, I'm looking for
George Bailey.
Thank you, George Bailey. I heard about this idea from the folks at Tossy Station, but it sounds like you came up with the idea, which is awesome. A brilliant idea, because I like the idea of a more sophisticated social soiree, because I think that's something that the Star Wars community hasn't really ever encountered.
Well, you know, we tried to just go with the party scene for a little while. And really, if you'd have asked me a couple of years ago, I would have been like, oh, Dragon Con's not for families. It's a big party. But that's totally not the case. Now that I've been more involved, now that, you know, everybody's finding love at Lightspeed Dating and having kids and bringing them to Dragon Con or whatever it may be, it really is becoming way more of a family affair. So it's time to just take a step back and, yeah, let's find the beauty and the class of the, you know, the generations before us. And maybe try to bring that to Dragon Con as well. And like you said, maybe for Star Wars, we haven't had anything like this before. Hopefully it'll go well this year as a mix and mingle or a cocktail party, and we'll be able to bring it back next year too. Maybe it'll get bigger every year. Who knows?
Ah, no, I think it's a brilliant idea, because let's be honest, everyone, almost any fandom has done the rave party, or, you know, the dance party, or the huge get together, or everyone gets down to the bar. I mean, they're really common social, almost not stigmas, but stereotypes of what geeks do to get together and party. And this kind of defies that, and I love it, because this is much more along the line of how I would love to socialize with fellow Star Wars fans. So I don't know if this goes well. We'll have to, like, if they're doing Celebration next spring in Anaheim. So I think this is the exact type of thing that would be great to do at other events too. So
yeah, well, we do like it when other people are like, hey, that's a great idea, we should take it to Celebration. Steve Sansweet had a couple of those moments with us when he was there a couple of years ago. And I know Matt Martin was there last year taking pictures of the pod race and several different ideas that we had. And he's like, oh, we've got to put this at Celebration. So I guess that's the sincerest form of flattery, right?
Oh, no, absolutely. No, and I'll tell you what, like, because that's got to be cool. Like, last year, I know Matt Martin was there. That's when I first ever met him. And I think I told the story the other day, but I was like, I was introduced to him, and I was like, yeah. And then someone told him, oh, he does the Star Wars party. He said, oh yeah, I know what you guys, I've heard of you guys. And I was just like, wait, what? And that was like, it makes sense that when you think about it, cause you know, there, it's a fan sites, you know, it makes sense that you're doing, but you don't really think about that, because we just do, you know, Star Wars report and we interact all of us fan sites and podcasts and bloggers do it just because we love it, because it's fun. And so it's a weird moment when he's like, oh yeah, somebody sitting somewhere at Lucasfilm has logged onto their browser and punched in starreport.com, which is a weird moment for me. Mm-hmm. But I mean, and even for you, it's got to be cool to have had Lucasfilm presence there. What's that been like when you think about some of the, like, large Star Wars community members, or maybe even official Lucasfilm presence? Because Dragon Con is an event unto itself.
Well, it's a fan-run convention, which makes it different in a good way, I think.
Well, and I appreciate that sentiment. It becomes frustrating sometimes, you know, because we do try to hold ourselves out to the same standard as Celebration or as Comic-Con. So we really try to make it somewhere in between. Yeah, it's a fan-run convention, but we want to make sure everybody's having a good time. Maybe there's some substantial, substantive conversations and discussions going on. Maybe some meaningful moments. We really try to put something on for everybody to enjoy. So when Lucasfilm does come, it's really wonderful for us, because that's one thing that almost tells us we're doing it right. You know, we love our fans. We love the feedback we get from you all. We love the fact that it's your ideas for the panels and the events that we have. And it's your panels. You know, you guys are the ones that are on it and taking these discussions wherever they need to go. So we're really appreciative of that. But then when Lucasfilm actually does come and says, hey, that's a great idea. You know, it's a different level of validation that maybe we're doing it right. I don't know. It's just special because it's Lucasfilm, like you said. You know, they're the people who bring us all these awesome things and these great movies. And Matthew Wood was there last year too. And I don't know if you saw Guardians of the Galaxy, but yeah, his name was above everybody else in the credits even. So, I mean, it's just, it adds to the magic of Dragon Con as far as I'm concerned. That, you know, my first Dragon Con, that was the thing that sold me on it. I was like, I felt like I was in Hollywood, or I was in the movie. You know, you just can't get that in your regular everyday life. So
yeah.
Hopefully all of it working together.
And for those fans who really do enjoy going to conventions. What would you say to Star Wars fans who have not been to Dragon Con but are interested in the programming there? Because sometimes, I know I've met a few who've been like, well, you know, there's really no news announced at Dragon Con, so why would I attend the Star Wars track if there's not really going to be any news? And for me, Dragon Con is such a rich experience as a Star Wars fan. I really enjoy it. But perhaps in your own words, could you explain how Dragon Con is such a great experience for Star Wars fans, even if they're not, you know, you don't expect news to be announced there?
Well, you know, like you said, it's fan run, and it's by fans for fans. We can't stress that enough. I mean, I'm an attorney, quote unquote, in real life. I don't work for Lucasfilm. I don't work for any of the movie companies or anything like that. Not saying I wouldn't love to. That would be amazing. But, you know, like, none of us are in the industry.
Yeah.
It's not that we're trying to make a buck off of anybody. We're doing it. It's our labor of love.
Yeah.
We work year round to try to come up with the best programs. And like I said, it's actual fans. It's other fans that are on the panels. And so many of our panels, I feel like they kind of turn into a round table where, yes, there are panelists. And like this year for our science panel, we've got people from NASA and, you know, like people with doctorate degrees in physics and all of this stuff that will be on the panel. So yes, they're very knowledgeable panelists. But at the same time, the fans can be involved too. Just sitting in the audience is an experience in and of itself because you can be a part of all of this as well. But I think Dragon Con, the difference is you can come to Dragon Con for more than just Star Wars. You know, for me, it's a Star Wars convention up one side and down the other. And I would argue that we're one of the biggest tracks and possibly even one of the biggest draws at Dragon Con. But, you know, you could come to Dragon Con and talk True Blood or The Walking Dead or Defiance, you know, pretty much any fandom you've got, somebody's going to be there that you can immediately make friends with and have something in common with and then see that person again every year after. So it really is a family. I've made so many friends because of Dragon Con. And I'm sure that you can get that experience at some of the bigger conventions or at Celebration or at Comic-Con, but I just think it's a little bit more of an intimate experience at Dragon Con. It's more what you want to make it and how you can contribute as well. It's not just that you're going to go stand in line for 6 hours and be one person in a crowd of, you know, 150,000 people. So hopefully that's what makes it different. I know we don't have the news. We don't have the exclusives like some of the big events, but you have to think, Comic-Con's over for the year. We're the last big thing before Rebels hit in October. And then next year, like you said, Comic-Con's going to be over. Celebration's going to be over. Then you got Dragon Con, and then you've got Episode 7. So you never know what you're going to find out at Dragon Con or what's going to hit right before that maybe you didn't know. So stay optimistic. Stay hopeful.
Yeah, that's absolutely. And that is such a perfect way to put it because you really captured my experience and I think a lot of people's experience at the Star Wars track and at Dragon Con in particular is that sort of it feels like a family. You get that more intimate atmosphere because I know at other conventions a lot of the time that you would get that is at a party or after the convention regularly scheduled paneling is over. That's your time for hanging out with friends and discussing Star Wars or talking about the news that you've heard or talking about your latest sci-fi fantasy passion. But for Dragon Con, that's really what you hear the whole time. It's the reasons why people read blog posts and why people listen to podcasts and why people communicate with other fans online is you get that more intimate family and friend setting that Dragon Con to me. That's not just something you get at Dragon Con after hours or talking to other people between panels. You get that in the panels themselves, which is fantastic.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, you encapsulated it so well, Brandy. It's one of those things where you're right. You are an attorney by day, attorney by night, Dragon Con runner. No, but see, you know, Bethy and I, we're full time college students. We're both in Air Force ROTC. Like, we are. What I love about the programming at Dragon Con and the whole flavor is that, like, you guys are all professionals, but you're not professional fans. You kind of embrace that side of people who actually enjoy and consume this content so much. Because I think that's what bleeds through at a lot of these bigger events, even Star Wars Celebration or something like that. It's very, very nebulous sort of feeling that you get of where everyone is so entrenched in the industry of
the commercial side.
Yeah, the commercial side of the industry of making all of the stuff that we love. It can be easy to kind of lose the spirit of just the everyday people who enjoy it. So that's what Dragon Con, and especially you with the Star Wars track, embrace so well, is just that spirit of fandom that really just transcends anything else that you'll see at another event. And I speak from the bottom of my heart and mean it every bit in that Dragon Con has become my favorite science fiction, well, my favorite convention at all as a fan. So I really look forward to it this year. And man, I guess I've got to put we got to wrap up the interview. But anywhere you want to send folks before we let you go, Brandy?
Sure. Find us online. We are swatbc.com. That's also our Twitter handle, and we're on Facebook. So just come find us online. That's the easiest way to come up with what's going on in the Star Wars Dragon Con universe. And just to follow up on what you just said, you guys only have yourself to blame because you guys participate in our panels as well. So first and foremost, we have to always thank the fans. And thank you all, the podcasters and the bloggers, who keep the spirit and the excitement going year-round. So
oh,
thank
absolutely.
You guys, and we look forward to working with you.
Oh, we do too. It's gonna be a blast. I'll tell you what. A couple notes of housekeeping here that have to do with Dragon Con specifically. It's gonna be wall to wall coverage. We've actually got Brandy. We've got team members. It's weird. We've actually got folks flying in, staff from our site. So it's gonna be more than just me and Bethany this year, which is gonna be amazing. We got Aaron Goins from Star Wars Bookworms and Teresa Delgado also from the site, and they're both going to be helping us. It's going to be wall-to-wall coverage. We're going to be doing panel recaps, lots of photos on the social media. We'll be doing podcasts right from the event. You guys know where to tune in. It's going to be StarWarsReport.com, wall-to-wall Dragon Con over Labor Day weekend. It's going to be an amazing time, so stay tuned. If you want to email us, shoot us an email, StarWarsReport@gmail.com. We're on Facebook and Twitter. It's just Star Wars Report. You can follow me or Bethany on Twitter or Instagram. Our personal accounts are at the Riley Guy and at Bethany L. Blanton. That's going to put the wraps on this episode of the Star Wars Report. Dragon Con's going to be an amazing time, but stay right here for continuing Star Wars coverage of Episode 7, Star Wars Rebels, the video games, the podcasts, the fun. That's going to put the wraps. Remember, don't forget, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast. There we go.